At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're speaking of day two of what is called a ceasefire, could also be called a prisoner exchange, between Hamas and its sponsors and Israel and the United States. The incomplete nature of the exchange means that we're looking around the edges for who's watching, who's gaining, who's leaving. And right now, the question of Iran comes prominently. Iran has been very badly damaged by the B-2 raid of some months ago in terms of confidence, in terms of air defenses, in terms of decapitation of its military and suspect nuclear weapons program leadership. However, I'm told that it's reconstituting. I'm told that there are new sites that are signaling that they're starting the centrifuges again. At the same time, snapback has been exercised by the allies in Europe and the United States, meaning zero enrichment, zero, none whatsoever. The JCPOA is old news. That means they're in violation right now because they've not identified the fissile material from before. Gregory, what are Iran's opportunities here? What are their weaknesses?
Well, the nuclear business with Iran is a total canard. It's irrelevant. Iran has had nuclear weapons, physical weapons, since 1990, 1991, when they got some formerly Soviet weapons, which they paid a lot of money for in the black market and brought them over from Kazakhstan. They then got ex-Soviet nuclear weapons from Ukraine, our good friends in Ukraine. They sold them on the black market to Iran. Iran went on to subsequently develop its own weapons in concert with North Korea, and they tested them in North Korea. This has been all underway for decades. They can't use them. They know they can't use them. It wasn't so much that the US B-2 raids convinced Iran that it had to seek a new path. That just capped off the fighting. It basically saved the clerics, if anything, because it stopped Israel continuing that conflict. Israel was the one which absolutely defeated the Iranian air defense systems and all the other defensive radar systems and the like, and brought the change about in Iran. And when you look at it, you look at Gaza and you look at Israel and Iran, bear in mind that until the Shah left power in Iran in 1979, Iran and Israel were very, very close allies, and Iran and the United States were very close allies. And even with the clerics now, Iran geopolitically has lost its rationale for its war against Israel and the U.S. So the question is whether the ruling clerics are ready to seize the opportunity to transform Iran's strategic posture, even to the point of saving a clerical administration. They either have to do something or they're just going to disappear within short order, because the opposition movements within the country are now gaining in strength and gaining in daring to attack it. So there's no rationale anymore at this stage for Iran to oppose Israel, to oppose the United States, to support Hamas. They lost their opportunity to maintain a permanent land bridge from Iran across Iraq and Syria and Lebanon to the Mediterranean. That's been a strategic or geopolitical posture of Iran since Persian days, 2,500 years ago. Now the Hezbollah, which was its army in Lebanon and to a degree elsewhere, that's gone as an effective fighting force. They've lost control of the Syrian government, which was overthrown last December. We saw that the new Syrian government, which was ostensibly, which was definitely supported by Turkey, but is now moved away from the control of Turkey, is anxious to make amends with Israel and the US and the West, and Turkey is losing control there. But essentially, Iran has lost its control in that area of, if you like, the greater Syria, as it historically was known, from the Mediterranean to the Persian Gulf. So why continue with this hostility if the Iranian government can find a new way to redesign itself? Now, that would mean that they would go or would become less dependent on Russia and go towards the West. The Russians would not like that at all. The Russians would be prepared to deal with any Iranian government, whether it's clerical or secular, in the near future, but only if they can. So it's going to be a power battle over Iran. Who controls Iran? And who controls the next government of Iran, post-clerical, if you like, government of Iran. But there's no reason for the Iranian clerics to go out on a limb right now for Hamas, for Turkey and the like, because essentially Turkey and Iran have resumed their mutual competitive behavior, their mutual hostility. So it's going to be quite interesting how this affects the position of the Supreme Leader Khamenei going forward, or his successor, which I think is more likely to be the case, probably someone from the Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Are we looking at the possibility of a deal with Donald Trump? We have a minute, 1 minute.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think Trump has it in mind, and I think that's why he intervened with the B-2 strike to stop the Israelis from wiping out the entire clerical leadership and creating a power vacuum in Iran. I think Trump is now working towards doing that deal with Tehran.
And it would look like Tehran would stop the hostility towards Jerusalem. Would that be part of it?
It would be part of it, absolutely. Now, how they express that is difficult.
Politics. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're headed to even a less transparent place on Earth. That would be Beijing.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.